We are continuing on how to be led by the Spirit in the area of visualizing, in the area of visions. Last week we talked a little bit in general about visions and how seeing visions should have been a normal phenomena in each one of our lives and outlining the various parts of our being. And if you remembered, we also mentioned how there are three types of vision. There is the inner vision, the closed vision, and the open vision. The inner vision is what you see with the eyes, inner eyes of your spirit, and you're still conscious. And the closed vision is where you're caught up into the spirit realm. And the open vision is where you're conscious of both the natural realm and the spiritual realm. And we're going to look further into that so that we can understand it in a clearer way. And in order for us to do it, we need to first of all define the spirit, soul, and body of man. The spirit, soul, and body of man. And because that is our being that God is revealing Himself through in order for us to see visions. And perhaps there's no better illustration than Moses' tabernacle that illustrates the spirit and soul and body of man. Moses' tabernacle, if you remember, was divided into three major sections: the outer court, the holy place, and then the most holy place. And the outer court represents the body, and the holy place represents the soul, and the most holy place represents the human spirit. And so we would need to see that each piece of furniture that represents Jesus and represents the Christian life, we have touched on that in studying the tabernacle, also represents an aspect of our spirit, soul, and body. And we need to outline it so that we could go deeper into seeing how the visions of God occur in our lives. Praise God. So we will need a little help from some of you. And we're going to make use of some of you. Maybe some backbenchers will do. And praise God. So we would need, right? We would need, first of all, the brazen altar, okay? The outer court. Now, outer court, let's put you on the outer court here. Okay, right here. Can you stand right here? Okay, facing the congregation, please. Praise the Lord. All right. So this is the brazen altar here. And praise God. We have the first piece of furniture that is there, and then we have, of course, praise the Lord, the lever, praise the Lord, and the lever, and you could stand right here, praise the Lord, right here, the lever, okay, there, the lever, okay, and that is the outer court, and there's a wheel here. And when you enter into the veil, you see a piece of furniture towards your left. Praise ye the Lord. You got a very nice hairstyle. Praise the Lord. And that would be just nice for the candlestick. And you could stand right here. Praise the Lord. Okay, the candlestick is here. And so we have all the various pieces of furniture. And that we have is a candlestick. And praise God, is grinning like a Cheshire cat here. So we better take him up here. And so towards your left here, you would have the table of showbread. Praise the Lord. The table of showbread over on this side. And so when we come right before the second veil, and just before we move in to the second veil, praise ye the Lord. I seldom have Jeffrey Wu up here, so praise the Lord. All right, let's get him up here. And since he's under the ministry of prayer, let's put him as an altar of incense. Okay, right over here, okay. Altar of incense here. And just before you go in. And when you go in, what you have is the ark. Praise God. You like to be the ark, my brother? Okay, the ark. And the ark comes right over. You can step right on this step here. Up here, okay. Are you alright over there? Oh, the ark is falling, okay. Okay, are you alright now? Okay, praise God. Okay, you have to be careful not to have the ark fall. So, there is a second veil here, and you go and you see the ark. Now, we are taught the tabernacle from a different perspective on the Christian life and on the end times and all that. You could teach a lot of things on the tabernacle. But we're going to teach about tabernacle, the soul and spirit of man, and in the area of visions, and tie up everything together. What we have here is that this part, the outer court, represents your body. This section here represents your soul. There are three furnitures there. And then you enter in and you have the ark. Now, inside the ark is three things, alright? Inside the ark. If you open the ark, right, you will see three things are placed inside. Moses' two tablets, the rod of Moses, and the bowl of manna is placed inside the ark. And this represents the body, the spirit, the soul and the spirit over there. Now, in the body realm, in the body physical realm, our physical body, in order for your physical body to begin to taste more, begin to what I call be inclined and be fully sensitized to the things of the Spirit of God, your body needs two realms. That is, the lever represent, alright, I might as well just run it through, alright, some of the things that we have learned, right? This is the brazen altar, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the lever, Jesus, the Word, the candlestick, Jesus, the baptizer and giver, the Holy Spirit, and the table of showbread, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the altar of incense, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, the Ark, Jesus, the glory of God and the fullness of God. It also represents a part of the Christian life. It represents the power of the blood here. It represents in the brazen altar, the power of the blood, the lever, the power of the Word, the candlestick, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the table of showbread, the power of the name of Jesus, the altar incense, the power of praise and prayer and worship, and the ark, the power of the presence and the glory of God. Right? Each one represents an aspect of the Christian life and principle. Now, in the outer court, which represents our body, in order for our physical body to be sensitive to the things of God and to be used by God, or rather what I call as a spiritual sensor, you will need that your body be in line with the Word. And that your body be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give an example here. When the Word of knowledge operates through my life, God uses my body as a sensor. The sicknesses of somebody else is, quote unquote, in a sense, not directly, transferred for me to experience in my physical body. I sense a physical sensation. It is not caused naturally. It's not exactly like the person's sickness, but there is a, quote unquote, symptom. If your own body is sick, there's no way you could be sensitive to that. If your body is not in line with the Word of God, your physical body cannot be used as a sensor for God. For example, if you're having your own backache and your own headache, and then in your ministry time you sense it, you know, and you say, somebody here has a backache. It's not somebody else, it's yours. It's your own headache and your own backache. But if your body is in physical health, your body is in line with the Word of God, redeemed from the curse of the law, and you're experiencing that, then God can use your body as a sensor. He can do that to your physical body. So, in the physical realm, in order for our body to be what I call flowing easily in the things of the Spirit, you will need those two realms. The power of the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. And as your body is sanctified by these two, it becomes sensitive to the things of the Spirit. And there are three parts of our soul. Three parts to our soul. One is the will. The second is our emotions. And the third area is our intellect. Our will, our emotions, and our intellect. Our will, our emotions, and our intellect. And the Holy Spirit wants to flow through all three realms of our soul. Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We are not only to worship God with our will, although that is the starting point. We have to worship God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. So, sometimes people minister and preach as if your emotions is divorced from you. No, God wants our emotions to be a part of the spirit realm too. When God created man, spirit, soul, and body was to function in the spirit realm and the natural realm simultaneously. And so the three parts of our soul need to be worked on by the Word of God. And need to be constantly dealt with in the realm of the spirit. And these three pieces of furniture symbolizes ways in which our soul can be tuned to the things of the spirit. Or how the spirit realm works through our soul realm, which is the intellect and the emotions and the will. The candlestick represents the power of the Holy Spirit working. Let me explain that the power of the Holy Spirit will always have to flow through your renewed mind. For the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that the things of the Spirit are not received by the natural man. And anyone who has been led by the Spirit to a certain extent would know that the gifts of the Spirit operate in proportion to the renewedness of the mind. And God has to deal with your intellect. And your intellect has to be touched by God, has to be transformed by God, so that the gifts of the Spirit can flow through. And the limitations of the gifts of the Spirit are limited by your thought life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through pulling down of strongholds and reasonings and arguments and everything that exalts itself against the Christ, bringing every thought. Now, in all teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, they will always tell you that the gifts of the Spirit function as spiritual weapons to destroy the works of the devil. So the gifts of the Spirit are the equipment that God gives to us to warfare against the enemy. And notice how all our spiritual weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And yet, it has an association with the thought life and the thought realm. And so if you want your intellect to be submissive to God and to flow in the things of God, that you have to deal with it with the Word of God in order for the intellect to be a vessel for God to flow through, for God to use. You can talk personally to any person who stands in the prophet's office or anybody who operates the gift of prophecy. They will tell you that part of what they receive comes also to their mind. They may not describe it as thoroughly, but their mind is also used. Of course, when we speak prophecy and understanding, our mind is involved. We are still conscious, and our minds do hear the things of the Spirit of God. And so the Lord has to deal with the mind. And the table of showbread, which represents the power, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, represents the work of God on your will. Now, this is where the revelation of your position in Christ comes in. And our wills are involved, our free will is involved in the realm of our position in Christ. Like, for example, you may be trained in the natural realm to be or affected in the natural realm to be insecure. You do not know your position in Christ, etc. So, by the power of the name of Jesus, you can make a choice. You could develop the realm of your free will. instead of choosing the things of the doctrines and things of the enemy, you exercise your free will to go by God's word, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you choose to go by the name of Jesus. And you choose to walk that I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by the word of God. So that's the free will, the free choice. You may have certain things that conflict and are contradictory to your normal reasoning, but then your free will chooses God. So the name of Jesus strengthens our free will. And understanding our position in Christ strengthens our choice, the area of our choice. Deals with the will. And the altar, incense, the power of praise, prayer, and worship deals with your emotional realm. So we have the will, the emotions, and the intellect. Being instruments, I'm talking of that being a flow, being instruments of God. And here's the instruments of God flowing. And you notice that when you pray a lot and when you worship God a lot, one of the things that are affected is your emotion. There's no way you can really give true worship to God without your emotions being changed and transformed. Think about that. Worship involves your emotions. Prayer for long periods of time involves your emotions. Your emotions are being transformed and changed. Now notice here that that the power of praise and worship affects your emotions. Power of the Holy Spirit flows through and affects your intellect. Power of the name of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ, affects your willpower. Knowledge and truth sets you free. When you know what Jesus has done, you're free from it. You know you could choose. Sometimes people don't choose because they know not what they have. So the revelation of your position in Christ and of the name of Jesus reinforces your will. And if people do not know that things are theirs, they will never exercise their free will. But when you know what is yours, your free will is strengthened because now you know it's your right. If somebody comes to your house and says, this house belongs to me, and you know that it belongs to you, you would fight for your rights. You would stand on your ground. But if you're not sure yourself, you're not sure, you don't have any legal documents, and somebody comes to you and said, that house is mine, is that right? Your free will is shaken. You're not sure whether you could stand or not. So the revelation of the name of Jesus, your position in Christ, will strengthen your free will. Your free will, your emotions, and your intellect are affected. This is your soul area that God wants to deal with. And of course, we come to the ark. Praise God. Praise God. You know you have a very nice nose. Praise God. The ark. And so, in the ark, there are three pieces of instruments there. The manna, the rod, and the tablet, Ten Commandments. Those three represent three realms of your spirit man. The spirit man has three different realms of function. One is the intuition, one is the communion, and one is the conscience. The intuition, communion, and conscience. Intuition, communion, and conscience. Intuition is what we receive from God in a sense of direction. Communion is our union with God and our fellowship and love walk with God. And conscience is our sense of right and wrong. And so in those three things, the tablet of Moses, the Ten Commandments that are stored in the ark, represent your conscience. Your conscience. And the manna represents those things that God impart upon your life. Manna is something that is for partaking, for eating. And so that is representative of your communion with God. Manna, something to partake and eat. And the rod of Moses was used to do all the demonstration of signs and wonders in Egypt, and that was lifted up. And that was a breaking of a way through. So that represents intuition, something that you could propel and flow through. Intuition, special inner revelation of God, your intuition. And so those three parts of your spirit, man. So you have your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now what happened last week was we described regarding two aspects of the soul, alright? Two aspects of our soul. And to differentiate, we need the ladies here. And praise God, can you come right up? Now we are tying up everything together. And so in your soul, could you stand right here? You have the dianoia, and praise the Lord. You have the dialogismos. You remember that last week? Dianoia, dialogismos. And we're talking about visualizing now. Dianoia, dialogismos. And then in the outer fringes of your soul, in the outer fringes of your soul, you have the nous. You remember the nous? And that is your normal consciousness. Your nous. Praise the Lord. And would you like to be the nous? Alright. The nous. And we stand right here. Yeah, okay. And this is a whale. Okay. And this is your body. This is your spirit. This is your soul. Excuse me. And this is your spirit. Now, in your soul realm, you have the nous, the dialogismos, and the dianoia. Am I going too fast here? Everything very clear? Okay, very good. That's why we need the help of each one of you guys, alright? Praise the Lord. Now, if I could, I would buy lunch for you afterwards, alright? I'm going off early, so I'm sorry about that. Anyway, okay. So, so we have our nous, the dianoia, and the dialogismos. The nous represent your conscious mind. The dianoia and the dialogismos rest more, or the part of it is in the conscious mind, but rests more in the realm of your subconscious. Subconscious. We all know that about 5% of our mind is conscious and 95% is subconscious. Our soul. And that's why the subconscious mind is far more powerful than the conscious mind. And it affects and influences the choices that the conscious mind makes. Right? So the nous, dianoia, and dialogismos. And dianoia is a part of your mind that sees, that visualizes, that sees picture. Like a red dog. Quite hard to visualize a red dog, because we haven't seen a red dog. Okay? But I could see in my mind. Or, let's put it easier, a black dog. Okay? A polka dot, a polka dot dog. A white dog with black polka dots. Now you can see it. See, when I mention these sentences, the part of your mind that visualizes is your dianoia. And the other part of your mind is a dialogismos that say, you know, 1 plus 1 equals 2. 10 plus 10 equals 20. 20 plus 20 equals 40. That's the part of your mind that calculates. The part of your mind that is logical. It brings a conclusion and logical conclusions in your mind. Now, there are two other parts of your mind that we need to illustrate. Praise God, Sister Rani. And we have what we call the anoia. The anoia, okay? The anoia, you could stand right here on the steps here next to Philip, yeah. The anoia, and we have the entomesis. You remember all this? We talked about that last week. I'm just putting all the truths together so you could systematically see it all together. Praise God. The entomesis. I'm here. Thank you. And the anoia is the part of your dianoia that resides in the spirit man. The spirit man has the ability to see pictures also. And of course, the ability to reason, which is in a higher realm. So the anoia, which is related indirectly to dianoia, and the entomesis, which is indirectly related to your dialogismos. Okay? Except with the fact that they dwell and they reside in the realm of your spirit man. The realm of your spirit man. And so we have your spirit, your soul and your body. You say, wow, our soul is complex. It's even more complex than this. We all realize our soul is more complex than we realize. And our physical body is even more complex than we realize. Praise God. And so we need one more person and one more help. Praise the Lord. And I like somebody way outstanding. Let's have the brother on the green chair at the table there. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. And you come right here. Praise the Lord, Brother Timothy. And now, thank you. What we have is our consciousness. Now, this is where we relate to visualizing. Our consciousness. When you sleep, your consciousness transfers into the realm of the subconscious, right? When you're asleep, you're not aware of your physical body at all. Your consciousness resides in the realm of your subconscious. The very accurate picture is where, let me show it. Praise God. Could you just hold this piece of cloth? Yeah. And you hold it open this way. Okay, yes, thank you. And praise God. I hold this piece of cloth here. Okay. The piece of cloth represents the veil. Two veils in Moses' tabernacle. Now we realize she represents the, what is that? Noose. Okay. Noose, which is the conscious part of your mind. Do you know that the conscious part of your mind relates out into the physical world and into the natural, spiritual, in the soul realm? We realize that? Let me repeat that. The conscious part of our mind is relating to the natural right now. Isn't that true? That is true. You could tell your arm, you know. You could raise your hand. You could touch. You could feel. Your conscious mind is active. There is a relationship. The noose represents the consciousness of the soul that contacts the physical world and yet is in contact with the other worlds inside you. The soul and indirectly the spirit world. Okay? That's the noose. And there is a consciousness that you will have normally under normal waking hours. Your consciousness is here at the nose, right at the veil. When you're awake, your consciousness is here. You're partly conscious of your conscious mind and you're conscious of the physical world. Your consciousness stands at this veil here. You're relating to two realms. You're relating to the physical world and the inner realm of your spirit and your soul. Indirectly. Your consciousness. The part of you that is conscious. When you're asleep, your consciousness moves out from the conscious realm and goes into the level of your subconscious. And that is where your noose is sort of closed up. Your physical world is still there, but you're not conscious of the physical world at all. Your consciousness has moved deeper. And what happens is there are three types of vision. Remember we mentioned. There is what we call the inner vision, the closed vision, and the open vision. The inner vision is the lowest type of vision. And the inner vision, your consciousness is here. Right? You're here. And so, you're conscious of the physical world. You're conscious of the spirit world. And the things of the spirit and the inner soul. And what you receive is, quote unquote, sometimes like an imagination. God could give you some things. It comes in a thought. Or it comes in a picture form. And sometimes it's not so clear. Your clarity in your inner vision is affected by where your consciousness is. If you are having, you know, you happen to be having the realm of physical activity and all that, your consciousness is not that much of the inner realms of your soul. You're more conscious of the physical realm. And that is why when you're having an inner vision, or God is giving to you an inner vision, the Holy Spirit is leading you by inner vision, you sometimes have to, quote-unquote, forcibly close up your body realm. Where you may even need to close your eyes so that you could concentrate to see clearly what you're receiving in the spirit. When you're having an inner vision, God is giving an inner vision from God. So that the inner vision needs to be very clear, and it can be affected. While you're seeking to see the inner vision, if you have been watching too much TV, too much gun smoke, or reading too many wrong things, as you close your eyes, right now you will see some of those things from your memories echoing through your, some faint pictures echoing through your soul realm. Right now, you could actually see some things in your corridors of your nose. Your consciousness is right now at the nose, I believe. There's nobody sleeping right now. So your consciousness is your nose. And if you close your eyes right now, which you can do right now, close your eyes. Don't try to think of anything, but let your inner consciousness hang loose. As your inner consciousness hang loose, although you may just see a dark screen inside you, if you have been watching too much TV, a bit of that is coming up. If you've been reading the books recently or whatever things, whatever is your latest impression tends to come up through the corridors of your screen. If you have been reading the Bible much and praying much, that comes to your consciousness. That means whatever is your latest experience is seen. Alright, you can open your eyes now. When you close your eyes just now, whatever was latest in your experience, the latest picture came up. The most current picture comes to your mind. Whether in the spirit, soul, or body realm of your experience, it comes to your mind. And what you do is that when the Holy Spirit wants to lead you in visions, He can lead you either through the inner vision, open vision, or closed vision. Most of His general leadings function in the inner vision realm. And that is why we have to develop a sensitivity to learn how to close off our... Is it closed vision? It's okay. It's already automatically closed. But when you're having an inner vision, that is not automatically closed. You have to, quote-unquote, forcibly close your physical realm so that you could concentrate on what you're receiving from God. It's just like some, in other words, the signals that you're receiving from the Holy Spirit are weak, and you need a very quiet room in order to concentrate on that. Right now, we could turn on the radio and you find some signals are loud and clear from our Malaysian radio station. But some other signals like Voice of America or some other signals from further places could be a bit weak. That can be received, but they are weaker. And sometimes in order to receive it, you need to filter it. You need to be in a more quiet atmosphere. You find it very hard to do it. We have about 1,000 children running all over the place, screaming at the top of their lungs. It's very difficult. You may need a quiet place and quiet things now. You may need to create an atmosphere physically to receive that signal. When you're receiving a signal from the Holy Spirit in leading your life, and you're in the noose realm, you're awake, and that it's coming to you, there may need to be a certain quietness that you have to forcibly bring about. One of the easiest ways to close off your physical eye and to worship God and to pray. And so there is a consciousness that is there, the signal. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives you a open vision, you're in this realm here. You're in the realm of your, let me put it clearly here more, of your dianoia, which is in your soul realm. But more towards the inner realm of your soul, your subconscious. If you're having an inner vision, open vision right now, you would be able to see the physical world and the natural world and the spiritual world at the same time. Yet you're more conscious of the physical than the spiritual than the physical. So God is allowing you to experience the spiritual world and the natural world. And what you actually are is, let me put it here, you're quite close to this veil here. In fact, you keep holding that. Part of the veil, praise the Lord. And part of the veil, you're conscious here, and yet conscious of the spirit realm, and you're conscious of the natural realm at the same time. You are somewhere in between. That's why it's the middle type of vision. There's the lowest and the highest vision. Your consciousness is still there. It's part of your consciousness. If I could do it, I would tie a rope between him, between that veil and this veil. So this veil would still be touching him, who is the consciousness, and that veil is touching him, which is the consciousness. So he's somewhere in between, stretching forth this way. And that is the open vision. You're more conscious slightly of the spirit realm, but you're conscious of the natural realm. Somebody is running around, you could see the person running. If there's an angel flying in, you could see an angel there. But you're seeing and experiencing the physical world and the spiritual world at the same time. That's the open vision. That's not too much of a problem like the inner vision where you got to forcibly close yourself. That's where you open to both realms. Praise God. The closed vision, praise God, but you come right up here and stand right there. Closed vision, he has completely entered into the spirit realm. Your consciousness has gone into the spirit realm. You're completely unaware of the physical world. You are quote-unquote caught into the spirit world. Caught into the spirit realm of God. Like Revelations chapter 4, John was caught up into the spirit. Acts chapter 10, Peter fell into a trance. He was caught into the spirit realm. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, I know a man in Christ who went to the third heaven. He know not in the spirit or in the flesh. There's no more consciousness of the natural realm. You're caught into the spirit realm, and your spirit realm is experiencing all those things, and your natural body has lost its quote-unquote consciousness completely. You've gone into that realm. Totally. And this is where we do a little bit of application and teaching. You notice, in the positioning of Moses' tabernacle, that the laver is placed before the first veil. Before the first veil. And the altar of incense is placed before the second veil. You remember that? It's before. That means it's just in front of. To get through the first veil and the second veil, you will have to get to the laver first, and then through the
pass the altar incense into the second veil. Now, their positioning is important for our teaching this morning. In order to experience inner vision in clarity, what does the level represent? Represent the Word, power inherent in the Word. You will need the Word of God to be constantly upon your nose. The Word of God needs to be constantly upon your nose so that you could clearly receive the signals from the Holy Spirit. And like, for example, it's easier to receive the signal from the Holy Spirit if He's giving you some things in the inner vision or spiritual vision where your mind is at the moment dwelling upon the Word of God. If your mind is not dwelling on the Word of God but on something else, on a TV show you just seen, you cannot receive that signal from God. Your mind must be dwelling on the Word of God, and your mind must be flowing with the things of God. And like John chapter 15 verse 3, Jesus said, "My word has made you clean." In order to enter into the realm of the close vision, you would need to notice the altar incense is just before that. Usually, you would be deep in prayer as you enter into that. Deep in prayer to enter into the close vision. Let me take some illustrations from the natural. One of the things that happen before a person falls asleep is that they are rhythmic breathing. Now, there is a technique for getting to sleep very fast. Right? There is a technique. You could break it down in a natural realm. There are different stages of sleep. Different stages of sleep. There is the earlier stage, then the later stage, which is quite quiet. And then the deepest one, where there is REM, rapid eye movement. Different degrees of sleep. And your sleep level is a different level. At a certain level of your sleep, if sound is made, you cannot know. But at a lower realm of your sleep, if sound is made, it can wake you up. So even sleep has different levels. And sometimes within one night of sleep, you could have a cycle. You could have a cycle of, let's put it as three phases of sleep, alright? Natural. Just getting into sleep, and quietness, and REM. REM is rapid eye movement. That's when your dreams occur. So you could have stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Then stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. You could go to several cycles. So at a certain point in your sleep, if a noise is made, you could wake up. But at the REM point, when noise is made, you won't wake up at all. So there are different levels of consciousness, even in your normal sleep. Now, there are different levels of moving into the things of the Spirit. Remember that. There are different levels of vision. Although visualizing is classified into three main areas. Vision. Spiritual vision or inner vision, open vision, and closed vision. Yet, between them, there could be degrees of growth. Hallelujah. There could be degrees and levels of consciousness that we develop in God. And through growth, a person can develop where they are constantly able to picture the things of the Spirit with great clarity, almost like an open vision. Right? There are some things of the Spirit there. Well, let me give an example. When you're new to these things of the Spirit, sometimes God gives you a vision. Hagin call it a mini vision or flash vision. I call it a fast one. Just a flash. You could be worshipping or doing something and suddenly, and you saw a picture like that, that come by. And sometimes it's blur, sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes it's only for a few split seconds. you see the vision for a few split seconds. Sometimes it is there and it retains a long time. What causes the length of time? The level of your consciousness into the realm of the spirit. The further in you are in the realm of the spirit, the longer that flesh vision will remain. But when you are over here, it can just come very fast. And go off. And you could actually miss it. You could miss the directions and leading of the Spirit of God in visions. Right? So I'm giving you a big, huge, general outline. I'm going to go to some detailed teaching as time goes by. Praise God. Thank you so much, all of you. You've been so helpful. Let's give Jesus a clap offering as I go back. Let me give you some scriptures as we close. And let's look at the book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We will take an illustration from the deepest realm, alright? Of moving from into the close vision realm, right? Being caught up into the spirit where you got a close vision. We take an illustration from that and then we bring it forward. We bring it forward in its application. In the book of Acts chapter 10, in verse 10, and he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He fell into what I call a close vision. And in verse 9, Peter went out on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Notice what he was doing. He was praying. He was praying. And that tells you the altar of incense. Just before he entered the close vision. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, please. In verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, what John experienced was a close vision. And to be in close vision, he said, I was. What does he mean, I? His consciousness. His whole soul was like in a spirit realm. He was in a spirit on the Lord's day. Shum, he was over here, into the close vision. And moving into the realm of the close vision has its type in the natural. The natural world is like a parable to the things of the spirit. In the natural world, before you fall asleep, into deep sleep, there is a way that you could do it. For example, some of you who, besides other causes, there could be many causes of insomnia, but generally a person who finds it hard to sleep, barring the interference of demons, which you could take authority with anyway, and there could be demonic causes, which you could take authority. There are many other causes, physical causes, organic causes, and other causes we don't consider. But under normal circumstances, if you find it hard to sleep, it's because your mind is thinking of too many things. You try to sleep with your mind thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and running a few daily chores through your mind or different chores through your mind, you can't sleep. And my mind sometimes gets very active too. But I have learn, it's more natural way, learn a natural art of sleeping. And it's very easy for me, and knowing how the body operates and how you get into deep sleep, is I just keep my mind quiet. How do you keep your mind quiet? Let the mind concentrate on other things into a rhythmic pattern. I learned that when I was traveling on a train. See, when you're traveling on a train in those days and you had the sleeping berth, and the train would go boom, 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 very easy to sleep. You're being rocked like a baby. And today, they have discovered a tape for babies, to put baby to sleep. And the tape sounds awful, actually. I have the tape, I heard it, and it's noisy and awful. But what they did was, they put a microphone into the mother's womb, and they taped the sounds that a baby would normally hear while in the mother's womb. There are many sounds, you'd be surprised. The heartbeat of the mother. That's when the mother is excited. Right, they could hear the heartbeat. They could hear some sounds, sometimes a stomach sound. They hear people talking here and there. So they have taped. Today they have discovered that they have actually taped the sounds from the mother's womb. And so when the baby is born, some baby are what you call colic babies. We're always crying. So you don't know why a baby is crying. Of course, when you become a father, you know that baby could cry, or mother, you know baby could cry for three possible reasons. They want food, or they are uncomfortable, or they just want some attention. And you could differentiate different type of cries. But, so sometimes people think here, babies wonder why these babies, you know, always crying all the time. And they play that tape to the baby. Now the baby is already born. It's outside the mother's womb. So when they play the tape, the baby hears a sound exactly like in the mother's womb. What does the baby do? Sleep. Sounds like back to Old Kent Road. Back to the mother's. Old Kent Road is a Monopoly game. It's the first square in the Monopoly game. Right. So, you're back where you started. And so, you're back in the womb. So, the baby sounds like it's a womb. So, it gets comfortable. It starts relaxing. And then it sleeps off. And so, whenever I have a lot of things in my mind, and I know I have to sleep, I know I have to rest. And barring spiritual sickness from God, where God may have a prayer burden, or you're doing, remember, there are other reasons. But under normal circumstances, what I would do, if I know that it's just my mind that is continuing in activity when my body needs to rest, I would just concentrate on my own breathing. And I'll try not to think of anything and just breathe. You see, what you do is, when you're asleep, your breathing is actually very rhythmic and heavy. Right. But when you're normally awake, your breathing is not that deep. Your breathing, yeah. But your, and so what I do, normally, knowing how to get into deep sleep, is a rhythmic pattern of breathing. And I will just concentrate on my breathing and just relax on the things of God. And I try not to think too many things, right? Even if you think of things of God, you can get so excited that you're wide awake, right? And my wife Amy and I used to tell our children stories before they sleep. And she prefers her own stories. She said, because when I tell stories to the children, I get them so excited that they're wide awake. So, she said, no, I will tell the story, right? But the children like my stories because they're getting excited. So, anyway, when I tell a story of getting to sleep, you got to have a rhythmic story. You know, and the boat was going on the sea, and it was rocking. Right, so there's a technique, you know. But here, so what I do when I want to go to sleep, my mind is still active, just concentrate on my breathing, relax, just take deep breath, and concentrate, and you just let your consciousness drop, and shoom, you're asleep. Very easy. Very simple. And in the spirit realm, this is where we are last in spirit realm, there are certain keys to get into the spirit. You have to have what I call rhythmic yielding. Rhythmic pattern. Let me show you an example. There are many ways into that. One could be praying in the spirit. Do you know when you pray in the spirit, you could put to automatic gear? And you're praying very deeply, and you're praying, right? So, and you're praying, you could shift it to what I call automatic gear, where you're just getting into the things of the Spirit. And instead of praying, right? It's quite hard to get into the things of the Spirit that way. Although sometimes God may lead you to pray that way, right? There is a special leading where God leads you to pray that way. probably warfare, right? But when I'm seeking to get into the spirit through the prayer realm, I will probably pray very rhythmically. And allow my body to flow with the prayer. My body will flow with the prayer. Say, brother, all these things scriptural, holy there. Out in the world, and the supermarkets, when they play those pop songs, you know those worldly people, what they do? The moment they hear a tune, I remember when I was walking behind this guy, and suddenly this song comes, catchy, worldly song, and I was pushing the cart, and suddenly this guy in front goes and start doing the disco in front of me, and say, hey, this is a supermarket. Why? Because the tune start his legs dancing. And what we have in the spirit is, let's realize that, you know, let's not over-spiritualize things until we lose the fact that these are real things that we are responding to. We all respond to music. There's a rhythm. There's something about you when you hear a worshipful, a nice tune and song in the spirit. You just want to flow along, dance, clap your hands. Right? It's a part of it. It's, we were trained by tradition to refrain. No, be dignified. And all these things. But a part of us want to respond. And so in prayer, we realize that we could flow in the rhythmic flow of the prayer. Sometimes the prayer just goes, that is why singing in the spirit also gets into the spirit easily because of the rhythmic pattern. Imagine keeping that on for hours. It sort of builds and draws your consciousness into the spirit world. And you could see the things of God easily. And you're just concentrating on the spirit. You notice you begin to fall almost, quote unquote, almost like falling asleep, but this one you're falling into the spirit realm, getting into that realm. So I'm showing you practical keys into getting into that realm. When I want to move into the spirit, I have to prepare myself. See, when I minister, I move into the spirit. When I'm teaching, right, it's just the teaching anointing. But when I want to minister to the gifts of the spirit, I have to know how to get into the spirit realm. Of course, there has to be a way. It cannot be, you know, oh, it will happen as God's will. God will that you move into the spirit realm all the time. So there has to be keys involved. And there are. And that is why when you minister, people who minister in the spirit, they like music. Why is that so? Because the music helps them to get their consciousness into the spirit realm. And once they get into the spirit realm, it's so easy to take off your visions. You could see the things of God easily. So there is a rhythmic pattern of prayer, a rhythmic pattern of worship, a rhythmic pattern of singing, whichever. There's a rhythmic pattern they can go into. See, we are taking an illustration for moving from here into the spirit realm. But we are illustrating how that they are, from here onwards, they are all different rhythmic patterns of moving into, deeper and deeper, into the realm of the spirit. Now these are what I call general principles. Outside of that, God could at any time, any place, just grant a gift of the spirit, discerning of spirit, and shoom, you're in. Okay? I'm not talking about that realm. Please, don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about that realm. God could at any time, any place, anywhere, just drop the gift of discerning of spirits, and shoom, you're there. But I'm talking about the normal development of growing our consciousness into the spirit realm. We should go move into the things of the spirit. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you continue to guide and to lead our lives in the things of your spirit. And you continue to teach us how to be led by your spirit. And we pray, Father God, that as we understand our makeup of our spirit, soul and body, as we understand the ways and the things of your spirit, we would be able, O God, to just flow into the depths of your spirit and allow your spirit to flow through our lives. We know, Father God, you have made us not to be a stranger to the spirit world. For you have made man to be a creature who understands the spirit world and the natural world. And you made us, Father, to flow in two realms, the spirit realm and the natural realm. And we pray, Father God, that you continue to teach us how to flow easily and naturally in the realm of the spirit and in the realm of the soul. And we promise, O God, to always give the glory, the worship, and the honor as you teach us to flow in those realms. For you, O God, live in the spirit realm. And for us to know you, we have to know you through the Spirit. And we reach out into you, O God, with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.